legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am the host of Court Radio every Saturday morning right here on WRMB.
100.3 WRMB.
Yeah.
And Classics 107.9.
Wow.
Okay. Coffee.
All right. We're here. We're live. I got a couple of announcements to make. We got to get this show rolling here.
All right.
So anytime.
Here it comes. Yeah.
Ta-da boom. Folks, if you want to get your seat in a butt, your butt in a seat, next Saturday, we are going to be live in the studio.
Yeah, man.
Flashlights on. 100.3 WRMB is hosting Court Radio's live radio show with a studio audience. And if you'd like to participate and be a part of that amazing event, you have to give us a call today at 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal in Philly. It'll also get you a seat next week.
Here in studio or out in one of the other rooms, Dean?
No, we're going to be in our
entertainment suite area.
Yeah. The oversized studio.
Right.
There's seating for approximately 25 people, so you'll be one of 25. We really can't, you know, we're limited by the fire marshal. Can't go any higher.
Folks can't even, like, kind of linger in the hallway.
No, because he'll be like,
everybody's entourage, the overflow.
No, he'll be like, let me tell you something.
Yeah, I guess. But, Dean, first of all, guys,
For enough money, I'll find space for everybody.
Yeah, I hear that, right? Ooh, hey, for enough money. He gives out great prizes, right? Great stuff.
Oh, we're going to be giving out some prizes. We have breakfast catered, and you get to meet all the guys and girls in the whole Court Radio show. Eric will be there.
Yep, coming in and out. You got to catch me if you can.
Manny Manuel. And
never know who might pop through.
Digital Dion, who was late this morning and will be punished later. Do we have, are we on YouTube Live? We are. Oh, yeah, he's giving the shake head like, what do you think?
I got this. I may not be on time, but I'm never too late, dude.
That's not true.
Okay, so if you want to watch the show, you can go to the Court Radio you can go to the Court Radio button on the My Philly Lawyer website, and you'll find us there every day. You know, you can watch this show over and over again.
Over and over again.
I wanted to say something to you, but I had a chance.
You're looking very fallish.
I was trying to keep up with you. I didn't know what you might wear today. I knew the YouTube audience. Dean's not the only one that can wear some gear.
Yeah.
You know, this gear is just more expensive than our gear.
No, I don't know. That's very attractive. And the Court Radio hat matches.
It's about the ensemble.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So your brother.
Folks, if you come next week to the Court Radio show, you might get some swag from
Get.
Yeah.
What?
We got some hats.
Which car are you driving this week, Dean? Do you know? Do you even know? You just flip a coin and go, that one. What's it going to be?
S63.
The X63.
SL63. Sorry. SL63. Anyway, folks, we're going to do a show today on slip and falls.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
On that season.
It's a pretty common way that you get to meet me. And
is that right?
Yeah.
Just slip and fall.
Either slip and fall.
Dean will appear.
Or somebody crashes into you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are some pretty common ways. And so slip and falls actually, on a serious note, cost us, this country, about $34 billion a year.
Get out of here.
Yeah. $34 billion.
With a B.
Yep. And 33% of all adults over the age of 65 will experience a fall. Pretty common. I was actually going up the steps last night and you ever get you hit that step and you kinda got a little sway to you, like you're going backwards. Yeah. You know, like you didn't quite land that foot the way you'd hoped to.
Wasn't that Alfred Hitchcock is about to happen?
And I got my hands full with, I don't know, some snacks or something I'm taking upstairs. And you get that sway. And just for a split second, you think, I might be going the wrong direction.
So, and for that split second, it was right then you knew you were...
I would have been in serious trouble. I mean, you're halfway up the staircase.
You got stuff in your hands.
You got stuff in your hands.
Anybody else home?
Yeah, they would have probably heard me, and but I don't know that I would have survived it. You know, the leading cause of brain injury and hip fractures is falls, and you do not recover all that quickly, if at all, from brain injuries or hip fractures, especially when you're getting up there in years. You know, I mean, you do not heal at 65 the same that you heal at 35. And so these become very, very serious, debilitating, life-altering injuries. No joke about it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times folks will come to me and they'll say, Dean, I fell and I have, you know, fractured hip or a broken arm or whatever. And I'll say, oh, that's horrible. What caused the fall? And they look at me like a deer in the headlights. And they go, I don't know. Well, if you don't know what caused the fall, then you do not need to see me. Because if you don't have if there is not a reason that we can demonstrate was the cause of your fall, and that reason was the negligence of some party, then you don't have a claim that's recognized by any court.
So what happened to you potentially yesterday when you were going to fall, that's just on you.
That's on me.
That's on you. Yeah. You lost your balance.
I lost my balance. And that, therein lies the issue. So many falls occur because we lose our balance. Or, you know, one foot hits into the other and you know, we trip ourselves up, so to speak. If you cannot identify a cause of your fall that has nothing to do with you, then you do not have a cause of action that an attorney can seek compensation on your behalf. 215-227-2720. Have you been in a fall accident? Tell us about it. 215-227-2727.
So let's say that you have balance issues, but you may experience a fall that may have contributed or been contributed to negligence.
But you have balance issues, you're saying. That's part of the makeup of the person.
Right.
So the other side when I talk about the other side, somebody is responsible for your fault, I presume, if you're talking to me and we're pursuing a claim. That party, the defendant, the negligent party, is going to seek in the litigation all of your medical records from the beginning of time. And they're going to see that you've had a number of falls having nothing to do with the fault of anyone. You're just fall prone. Maybe you do have balance issues. Maybe you have some other disease process going on which is impacting your ability to stay upright. They're going to imply to the jury that this is just a continuation of your ongoing problems. Then it becomes a factual argument between you and them that, yeah, you may have fallen in the past, but this fall was not caused by your balance issues. It was caused by that difference in height of an inch and a half or 2 inches from the tree root that had lifted up the concrete in front of your house and that had been there for the last 8 years and you did nothing about it. So then it becomes, well, what's the jury going to believe? Do they believe you or do they believe the defendant and buy into that argument?
So yeah, I just wanted to make sure there's no, like, contributory.
Well, there could be. That's a whole nother issue. But we'll get to that. But right there with the, what you were talking about, is it your prior fall history that is surfacing again, or is it this defect that you encountered in your walk home from work that day? 215-227-2727. If you'd like tickets next week, a week from today, we're live and in the studio. You get to meet all the folks from Court Radio, and then you get prizes we have, and there's breakfast, and you participate in the show. Like, you'll be asking questions, and
that'll be YouTube,
and
hagging, too, right?
And it'll be on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be a great time.
Yeah.
We always, always, always have more requests than we have seats. And so I would suggest if you want seats, give us a call today. And folks who called last week, if we tried to reach you and you didn't respond by phone or email, you're not on the list yet. And so I'm just giving everybody forewarning, fair warning, call today. Give Sarah your name, telephone number, and address, and we'll get you on the list. But you have to give us a call today, 215-227-2727.
You know, I'm looking at the slip and fall accidents. I'm looking at the common places for falls. I'm saying to myself, okay, I don't go to the nursing homes at all. I do go to the grocery store. Retail stores every now and then. We all have to go to work, I'm sure, even though if you work from home. Parking lots, building entrances, and staircases. And then 33% of adults over 65 fall each year. So below that, the other is just everybody, teenagers, the other percent.
Yes.
Okay. And does it normally happen in these locales?
It does. These are common places for falls. But, you know, if a fall accident can happen anywhere, and there's a number of factors that go into it. I mean, one is oftentimes it's you know, if it's an indoor fall, it's bad lighting, you know. And so, or you're, you know, older homes, they may have made remodeled and then it's not up to code. So one step could be higher than another step. And, like, you know, all of those things we take into consideration when we're looking at what caused the fall. But again, you know, when a person comes to the office and says, I'd like to be represented, I was injured in a fall accident, the very first question is, what caused your fall?
Well, we talked about a person with balance issues. You just said one of the problems with falls are bad lighting. What if you're a person that has bad eyesight? Is that going to be used against you?
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're not encountering, what the question is, did you encounter a defect? So, it, you know, if there's a defect which you have a hard time seeing because you have bad eyesight.
Yeah, it was bad lighting. Yeah.
That all comes into the mix.
Okay.
And there may be, as Eric raised, there may be some comparative negligence on your part. Because somebody with really, with proper eyesight, maybe you should be wearing glasses, is the question. And if you had been wearing glasses, would you have seen the defect and avoided it? And that's a fair question for a defendant to ask. Let's talk to Harley on line three. Tactics, please.
Good morning, Harley.
Harley, good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Court Radio.
Harley.
Oh, Harley. All right. He had a criminal law question. And
Harley Quinn. Okay.
How about Jay on line one?
Jay's there.
Yo, Jay.
Jay is here.
Yeah, brother, what's up?
Good morning, Jay.
What's your question?
My question is, what can I do? A guy that go to the auction and he sells cars. I have an antique car, and he called me and said, hey, they going to have a car like yours, and I just wanted a car for parts because my car is like 40 years old. And I just wanted a parts car because the parts was getting harder to get by. And he said, hey, listen, I could get the car for about $3,500, $4,500. So I said, all right, I'll give you $1,000. I gave him a check for $5,000. He told me he got the car. He showed me pictures. But he never really got the cars, and he never brought me my money back. So what is it I can do? And he has cars, so he has other cars. But, you know, I don't want no violence or nothing like that. I don't want no, you know. I don't want no, you know, confrontation. I just want to do it legally. to try and get my money back.
Okay, so the first question, if you were my client and you were sitting in my office, I'd ask you is, what proof do you have of what you just told me? Do you have emails or text messages between you and the car broker, let's call him?
Receipts.
Do you have a check? Did you make the check payable to him? Is the check been cashed? Do you have any documentation that we could base a case upon that would be proof of what you're talking about?
Yes, I wrote the check out of my LLC account, and on there I wrote it was for a car. Not only that, I got text pictures of him sending me the car that he supposedly purchased.
Okay, so you. Right. So the text messages read something like, here's the car I got for you with the money that you gave me. Something along those lines. We could fill in those pieces of the puzzle. Yes?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you know his name?
Yes, I have his name.
Do you know where he lives or where he works?
Yes. I took a picture of his driver's license before I wrote him the check.
Okay. So you can then go down to municipal court in Philadelphia. I presume it's in Philly, but if it's in the counties, you go to one of the district justices. And you
where the person he has a driver's license, so wherever the driver's license is, or wherever the transaction should have been.
Either one or the other. You know, it could be where the transaction occurred, or it could be where he resides. Mm. But in any event, you sue him. You say, you know, I gave him $5,000 for a car to purchase. He never gave me the car or the $5,000 back. And then you have his address, and the sheriff goes out, and they bring a copy of the lawsuit. And the women and the men down in municipal court are very helpful to unrepresented parties to assist you in getting the right paperwork filed so that you can bring him to court and have a judge slap a judgment against him for $5,000. Now, will you ever collect that judgment? That's a story for another day. Hmm. But for now, you got to get the judgment. And so that happens by you going down to the municipal court in Philadelphia.
Okay.
But the good news is he can, if there's a judgment, can affect his driving privileges, right?
No.
No?
No. I don't think so.
But because of a bad deal?
Only if the judgment is as a result of a motor vehicle accident and there was no insurance.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Not any old judgment. But a judgment involving a motor vehicle accident. In any event, we were distracted by tactics.
Yeah, something else.
Yeah.
So if I get a judgment and he has other cars for sale, is there any way that I could use my judgment to try and confiscate them and force a sale in order to recoup my money?
Absolutely. Then you have to involve the sheriff's office, and it gets expensive and complicated, and that's more for another day. But first, get your judgment, and then you can come back on the radio show. We'll have you as a guest here live sitting next to me while we talk about what you have to do to get that judgment satisfied.
I'm at the courthouse with bells on Monday morning.
All right, Jay. Take care, brother. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Hey, thank y'all so much, and y'all have a blessed weekend.
You too. 215-227-2727. Listen, if you want to see this radio show live next week in this studio...
We do give a tour of the studio. Yeah. We do show you where we were.
Yeah, we show you everything. We show you all the secrets. And Dion will have cameras set up. We'll be shooting live YouTube video. And it's just a great time, actually. It is a lot of fun. And our guests and our listeners always have fun. So if you want to be here next week, you got to give us a call today.
We should make a contest out of that.
And share with Sarah.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Share with Sarah your info. All right, let's talk to Denise on line 3. Oh, Denise.
Hi.
Hi, Denise. What's happening?
Morning.
Good morning. So, I was in Orlando, and I rented a car at the airport. And when we got to the car, it was in front of the desk. So I'm thinking, because I never really rent vehicles, I'm thinking that somebody was going to come up and, you know, inspect the car with me, and no one came. I stood there for about 15, 20 minutes, and I had to get to my hotel to check in. So I rented a vehicle for 2 days in Orlando. I parked the vehicle in the parking lot of the hotel, and we did bus tours. We never touched the vehicle after that. So I used my credit card to pay for the vehicle, and then after I paid for the vehicle, they sent me a letter saying that there was damage to the vehicle that I caused. Now, when I got to the vehicle, it was obvious to me after I looked at the car that the car had just been used. There was dog crap in the car. There was hair from a dog in the car. So they never even cleaned it. So I started calling them saying, you didn't clean the vehicle. The vehicle's dirty, so forth and so on. They never responded. They never got back in touch with me. And now they're saying that I put the messed the vehicle up. There was some paint damage on the vehicle. And it looked like somebody had tried to spray paint or whatever they did to the vehicle to damage away. So then they turn around and accuse me of doing it to the van, to the vehicle.
Yeah, okay. And so the question is, what do you do, I presume?
Yes.
Well, there's not a lot you can do.
Well, I guess the first thing she can do is dispute the charge?
Well, yeah, of course. She's. You should go on the record. And when I say record, I mean it's got to be more than verbal. So you would, at the minimum, send an email disputing each and every charge that they've accused you of causing. When you rent a car, there's usually like a folder with your contract in it, and yep. Usually there's a diagram of the car, mm-hmm. and they will have marks on it where there's damage to the car. So when you got that folder, if there were no marks on the vehicle, let's say, so they showed it as being an undamaged car, no little, you know, scratch here or whatever, they didn't point anything out to you, you should have done a walk around the car before you got in. And if you saw damage at that time that was not represented on that folder, then that's when your ears should have been perked up and you should have ran back in and gotten somebody from the front desk of their rental agency to come back out, observe the damage to the vehicle that you saw, and notate the folder. And so if you did not do that and you left and there was damage to the car which was not represented on that folder, that's an issue. That's a factual issue for you to overcome. Now, you can overcome it if they ever sued you. I mean, that's really what this is going to come down to. Will they sue you for these damages? And if they do, you would have to go in and testify. But if they never sue you and they just keep asking for it, it's a pain in the neck, but there's not much you can do about that except to respond and tell them this was the condition of the car before I got in it. They'll say, well, it wasn't represented on the folder that we had handed you. And you'll say, my bad. I didn't look at the folder to notice that there was no damage on there. Had I would have brought it to your attention, but I'm telling you that this was not damaged during my possession. Now, it's also possible, like, the car could have been sitting in a parking lot where you were not using it. Somebody else came along, scratches the car while it's sitting in the parking lot. You don't even realize it. You jump in the car, bring it back to Hertz, and hence there's damage on the car. That's why, you know, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. Again, if they handed you that folder and there was no damage reported on that car, and yet you knew from Jump Street, right at the dealership, before you left, there's damage, then that's when you run back in and go, hey, you didn't have anything written on this slip about damage, but there's damage on the car. I mean, you got to do an inspection, and that's the lesson for the other 9 million people listening to this radio show today. And unfortunately, Denise, you're providing us with that, but that the lesson is when you rent a car, thoroughly inspect the vehicle in and out, and if the damage is not reported on that sheet of paper that they handed you, then you need to bring it to their attention.
Before you leave the parking lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Denise, thanks for calling us.
So,
yes.
Thank you.
My pleasure. No,
I was going to ask, so the slip that they gave me where I went to the car, that should have the diagram of the vehicle on it, you're saying?
Yep, yep, it should. It should have.
Well, it does it.
It should have a diagram of the vehicle with areas that are damaged marked off on it. And if you did, if you did not get that, it was not with the car, then that's a good fact for you. That's a fact in your favor.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise. Have a great Saturday.
You know, she raises a point. I haven't rented a car in a minute. How about you guys? Do they still have that diagram by now in 2025? Mm-hmm. Aren't we using our phones, doing some type of digital way? Is it still that slip with the photo of the car?
Yes. What they'll do is they'll send you a contract with that in an email. And, you know, so if they're not, if it's not necessarily in a folder, they'll send it to you in an email.
I don't know. But here's the thing. If I rent a car, I go around the vehicle, whether I have that slip or not. I go around the vehicle, and if there's damage, I'm going to be telling somebody before I leave there.
And I look around the vehicle, like inside of the vehicle, before I even drive off.
So I
make sure that everything is what it is, because if I don't, if I see something that I don't like, I'm going to be, skirt, hey, look inside of here. This ain't me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. You got to cover yourself.
Yeah. 215-227-2727, the number for all things legal. Folks, we're talking about slip and falls. If you've been in one and want to share your story, give us a call. And if you'd like tickets to next week's live court radio show right here at 555 City Avenue, we are welcoming our guests and listeners next Saturday for Breakfast with the Stars. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes, and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of Urban One Incorporated, Radio One, or any of its subsidiary companies.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is Court Radio, and I am Dean Weitzman, your host every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
I guess I didn't have enough caffeine at the beginning of the show.
But you're ready to go now.
Feel better now?
I am.
Feel better now? Yeah. Yeah.
We had a question posed on break from the YouTube live audience. There's an area in front of their apartment complex that is defective, and people frequently trip there. When we bring a claim, we try to get the history of the area and find out if there were any other similar claims due to the same or similar defects. And that does not bode well for the defendant. We had a case, I can't name names because it's a confidential settlement, but it involved, those things when you go into a parking lot that if you try to leave without paying, they puncture your tires?
Treadles.
Mm-hmm. Treadles. Yeah. Is that what you call them, treadles?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So there were treadles in this parking lot, and it was – but they didn't have a set of treadles. They were so serious about not letting somebody leave that parking lot unauthorized. They had three sets of treadles, and 1 foot apart. Bada-bing, bada-boom, bada-boom. And this person was pulling their suitcase, and they got caught up on the treadle. And they fell. And they fell forward into the second set of treadles.
Ow!
And it went right through their thigh.
Who met this person?
We can't talk about it.
Yeah.
We can't talk about specifics. It went right through their thigh to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, the point of the story is that I found out that the company that had set those treadles up had two other treadle claims in the weeks leading up to our client's claim. So it wasn't like in theory you should know not to put three sets of treadles. We had actual proof that they had knowledge. They knew that they caused injuries to other people from this very same defective condition. Well, that certainly helped us bring the treadle lady's claim to a successful conclusion. And so Princess, who posed the question on YouTube about this defective condition. Now, I want to define, to some extent, we can define what a defective condition is. Because in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, there's a lot of case law on trip and fall accidents. And the courts have determined that a defect less than 1 inch is not deemed to be legally defective. And so what do I mean by that? Let's say there's a difference in height between one concrete pad and the next on a sidewalk, and that difference in height is only 3/8 of an inch, okay? And you're wearing shoes, and you hit that defective condition. You hit that 3/8 of an inch just right, and you go take a tumble. Does that amount to a good claim? And the answer is no.
No.
It must be at least 1 inch. Otherwise, the courts have said, folks would have to go out and inspect their properties every day and constantly be making repairs to their properties because of these very minor defects, which hardly ever cause a problem.
Well, doesn't it come to the property owner to actually measure it?
Well, yeah, I mean,
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Right, because I don't know if you'll be able to see it in a picture.
If you see something that gets your attention, it's probably significant and maybe you should be. If you're not out there worrying about something, then it probably isn't anything to worry about.
Mm.
But again, 1 inch is actually the defining amount that must be there in Pennsylvania for you to have a claim. That's not to say that you don't have one if it's less than an inch, but it gets to be much more complicated.
So basically, size matters.
Yeah, I'm going to ignore that. If you recently emailed me, Dean at My Philly Lawyer, about tickets for next week's show, would you please check your email? I am responding to you.
Yeah.
The way email works, you know, folks, if you don't realize this, is every day you need to look at your email account, see who emailed you, and respond to those who have emailed you. You know, it's taking the place of mail now, or telephone calls, or voicemails. Like, I'm not leaving you a voicemail, but I may respond to your email. You open your email account, and you see, oh, Dean sent me an email. Let me tell Dean I'll be there next week.
I have a sidebar about that. If you got a second?
I got
a tactic. I know you know what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
If someone opens your mail, a letter of yours, and reads it, that's illegal, correct?
Yeah.
If someone opens your email, does the same rule apply?
No.
Not at all?
No.
That's no type of offense.
Well, yeah, it could be violation of your
privacy.
Yeah. There may be a privacy act that applies to that.
You
there
think it
be.
Should be? Should it be treated the same as your snail mail, your letters?
Well, snail mail, that's delivered by the federal government, okay. So that's a little bit different.
First, they had to get to your mail account. So, right. Like, how did they get to your mail account?
Who knows? They broke into your phone or something. Well, I don't know. But
now you're starting to sound.
I don't know. I don't. Some type of way on the PC, they figured out
the PC.
I don't know.
People
still use PCs or your laptop, whatever. But they get into your account. Listen, I got callers that got AOL and Yahoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If you have AOL or Yahoo. It's a sign that you're probably an aged person.
I mean, I have Yahoo and I have Gmail.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got to Yahoo when you were a young kid and it was popular then.
I've had my Yahoo for years. So that's, you know, to defend the people that still have AOL, they've probably
had it. Still having MySpace.
Since you've got mail. They probably had it since
then. Dial tone. Do you think there should be a penalty for that? Reading your email.
Depends.
Yeah,
it really depends.
It's a privacy issue, still, right?
It depends on how.
I think you should end the relationship. Just get rid of her. Okay.
That's not where this came from. This came from Bill Maher last night. But go ahead.
215-227-2727. Again, if I've responded to you in your request for tickets, please acknowledge my response to your email, or you're not coming. There will be a list of violators.
Ooh. Is ice going to be outside, bro? My God.
If you still need tickets, email me or call the show, 215-227-2727. We can get you tickets, but they are going fast.
They always do.
Yeah.
They always do.
Slip and falls, minimum height, 1 inch. Comparative negligence is an issue. If it's a daytime fall and it's an open and obvious defect, the question is, why didn't you avoid it? And that's not a question I'm going to ask. That's a question the defendants legitimately will ask. Why didn't you avoid that defective condition if it was so open and obvious? In fact, it's kind of a reverse. The more open and obvious the defect, the more dramatic the defect, the bigger question is, why didn't you see it and avoid it?
Like that unfolding warning that there's a wet floor.
Yes, that's correct. And now there's a lot of cameras everywhere. So what we try to do is we try to capture video of the fall, you know, but you have to come to us almost immediately. If you wait a month or two for you to come to me to retain me to represent you on that fall, chances are the video proof is gone. And so it's another reason why the day you fall is the day you call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. We immediately send letters out asking the defendants to preserve the evidence. If the defendants have video evidence that they fail to preserve, then there is a negative inference we can draw from that, that the evidence would have not been good for the defendant. And so that's good for your case.
You know, I don't see on the list.
Is that copywritten? The day you fall is the day you call.
Whoa, I'm writing that down now.
All willy nilly. I was like, wait a minute.
You never said that before, huh?
I never said that.
The day you fall is the day you call my Philly lawyer.
There you go.
All right, that's it. Well, it's a wrap.
It's already proven.
It's in.
Has anybody seen my new commercials?
Yes.
My parents talk about your commercial all the time.
Yeah, yes. I got some people calling, you know, that they saw that new commercial. Mm-hmm. And all over the place, BET, yep. History Channel, mm-hmm. ESPN, CNN. Yep. Crazy.
You're
it's
there.
Out there.
You're in there, pal.
Yeah.
I don't see elevators on this list.
Elevators.
Does it come across your desk?
It has. Of course, over the years, we've sued Otis Elevator I don't know how many times.
Really?
It's difficult because sometimes that's like a one-off. Like, the elevator doesn't level that one time. It is normally leveling. But for some reason, that one time it got hung up, it's hard to show or prove that they had knowledge of the defective condition. Knowledge is important. You can't correct that which you do not know about. And that brings me to another thing, grocery mm-hmm. stores mm. or retail shopping.
Period.
You're walking in a grocery store or a mall, and you slip and fall. And you get up, and your pants are wet. There's a big puddle there, and you call me, and you say, I have a case. And you might, and then again, you might not. Because you have to have the people who own that property, who are responsible for maintaining it, they have to have an opportunity to recognize there's been a fall or there's been a spill. We need to clean it up in aisle number 12.
Right, that, yeah.
Okay, if you're walking, drinking a water,
Slurpee, whatever, yeah.
And you spill something, and you're literally 5 seconds or 10 steps ahead of me.
Right.
And I'm walking behind you looking at the shelves.
Right, now looking down.
And I slip and fall. What opportunity did the store owner have to acknowledge there was a fall and to correct it? None. Nope. And so in that case, you have fallen. It's you sustained an injury. But you need more than just a fall and an injury. We must prove that the property owner or property manager knew or should have known there was a dangerous and defective condition which they failed to correct.
What you just described is tough.
Yeah.
That's really tough.
So it's determined by, I guess, the judge on how much time.
Well, there's not going to be time.
First, only seconds.
I'm the judge, okay, because I'm not taking your case unless I'm convinced I can prove what I just told you I need to prove against the property owner.
Wow.
And so I'm going to ask the questions like, was it sticky?
How long had it been there?
Well, if you know how, you don't probably know how long it's been there. Was there signs of, like, that there had been dirt in it, like it had been there long enough? Or was it large enough? If we're talking about something the size of a few inches, that's one thing. If we're talking about something the size of a foot and a half, then that's something else. You know, because the larger it is, the more obvious it is, the greater the duty for the store owner to have acknowledged, recognized it, closed that aisle off, and taken care of it. So there's questions I'm going to ask that I'm going to try to drill down and find out how long it had been there or how large it had been. The other thing is, where was it? If it's in, let's say, the freezer aisle, the refrigerated food aisle, the meat aisle, if it had been meat juices, that might help me, because then it's probably something that was not wrapped properly that had been put in for display. Somebody picked it up and it started dripping the meat juices that was in there, so they didn't have it sealed properly. Again, I am going to look very carefully for any facts I can establish that would prove that the store had knowledge or should have had knowledge of the defective condition.
I'll tell you what I've seen. I've seen eggs on the ground. People have slipped on broken eggs. Expecting it, that drops.
Right.
And no one's around right away to pick that up.
Right.
I've seen that happen a few times.
Yeah. And again, People don't realize this. They come to me and they say it was there was something on the floor. I tripped and fell. I don't know what it was. Or I know what it was, but I just don't know how long it had been there. I need to do an investigation at that point to try to establish the facts necessary to show there was negligence. If I'm not able to do that, if we can't establish negligence, then there is no case.
Are these establishments...
A fall and an injury by themselves is not sufficient. A fall and an injury by itself is not sufficient. We must establish negligence on the property owner. Go.
You said for most cases there are cameras everywhere. For most cases.
Yes.
Are they required to let you have or see the footage, if there's any?
They are not required to show you. However, if you tell them not to destroy it and they then subsequently destroy it, then there will be a negative inference drawn from that failure to preserve the evidence. Once this lawsuit is filed, once I file the lawsuit against the property owner and I subpoena those records, now they have a legal duty to give them to me.
So timing is everything.
Timing is everything.
So as soon as you fall, call.
That's correct.
215-227-2727.
As soon as you fall, my Philly lawyer. Line three, Nina. Nina. Hi, Nina. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Nina.
What's your question or comment?
Okay.
Whoa. We lost her. Nina? Hello? Call back, Nina.
Once you hear that.
Once you hear that, it's too late. Sorry, Nina. Paul, first-time caller.
Morning, Paul.
Line five. Hi, Paul. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, how are you?
Good, brother. What's up?
I was calling to ask a question about a building that I used to work in.
Mm-hmm.
I was a maintenance mechanic there, and I also helped them to rent. Like, people come, I show them the apartments and, you know, sometimes collect the money and send it to the main office. Well, this building fell. A big chunk of it fell out of the side from the fifth floor to the ground. And they had to move the people out to hotels and shelters or whatever. And this is a year or so later, and I'm getting letters in the mail to say that they're trying to sue me as well. I wanted to know how much responsibility I have for that building.
Well, you're, you know, while you're working there, you're the agent of the property owner or property manager or both. And so whatever negligence, let's say that you are responsible for having done something which caused the building to fall. It's in your capacity as an agent of them, not as an individual. And so... The bottom line is the insurance coverage, which covers that building, assuming there is insurance coverage, will cover your negligence as well. So I don't know any attorney who wants to try to get a judgment against Paul because it's never going to be a collectible judgment. Paul, are you a multimillionaire?
Hell no, I can't even make ends meet half the time.
Paul said he can't afford to pay attention, let alone pay bills.
So nobody wants to get a judgment against Paul because it's not going to be collectible. They want to get you involved so they can get some facts maybe from you and find out what happened. And maybe they name you, but really the truth of the matter is they're looking for the deeper pocket. They're looking for the owner and the building manager. And the insurance is going to cover you anyway, so I wouldn't be concerned about it. Paul, stay on the line. Stay on the line. We're going to get you a My Philly Lawyer gift pack for a first-time caller. And nice. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Does the gift pack...
happens every day here in Philly. You're walking your dog or headed to work, and in a split second, you're on the ground in pain because of someone else's carelessness. I'm Dean Weitzman. For over 35 years, My Philly Lawyer has been fighting for people just like you. You can't work. Medical bills are piling up, and you need cash to take care of your family. Slip and fall, we've got you. Call 215-227-2727.
My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. Accidents happen. It's that simple, right? I'm Dean Weitzman. Every day someone in Philly takes a fall because someone else didn't do their job right. That's where My Philly Lawyer steps in. You need physical therapy? Check. Need someone to take on the insurance company? Check. You need cash? Check and check. We've been winning for over 35 years. Slip and fall? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I'm Dean Weitzman. If you have a history of using chemical hair straighteners and have been diagnosed with uterine or endometrial cancer, call My Philly Lawyer now at 215-227-2727. Frequent use of chemical hair relaxers can double the risk of uterine and endometrial cancer. If you've been affected, we will fight for you. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. You're cruising down the boulevard listening to your tunes and bam, some idiot runs a light, messing up you and your car. I'm Dean Weitzman. Bad drivers causing accidents are a fact of life in Philly. Another fact, with over 35 years fighting for people like you, My Philly Lawyer knows how to get you the help you need and make insurance companies pay. Victim of a car accident? Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host every Saturday morning on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
We are talking slip and falls today. It's been an interesting show. I hope you've all learned a little bit about slip and fall accidents. One, it has to be at least, you know, if you're talking about a differential in height or a crack in the sidewalk or something of that nature in Pennsylvania, it has to be an inch or more. And you would then be able to establish there was sufficient notice of the defective condition that the condition itself would prove itself to be negligence.
You know what I don't see on the list? I don't know. Stadiums. There's got to be slip and falls at these games.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a little warning on the back of a ticket.
Stop. Really?
It works, but it works for things that have to do with the event you're seeing. So if you get bunged in the head with a baseball at a baseball game, your chances are you're probably not able to bring a claim for that because you knew that was a risk of going to the stadium. You know, having them have, let's say, a flood in the urinal, which causes water to come out to the walkway and you go slipping on PP water, I would say that you probably have a good case against them for that. That's not a defect that you would expect to find at the stadium.
Well, people drop drinks slips, and stuff.
How about any slips in the parking lot?
Yeah, how about that?
No, again, parking lots should be free from defective conditions. And if you find a defect, well, if you happen upon a defective condition and it causes you to fall, I think that's a legit claim.
Well, in the common area, you know, during games, folks are walking by everything. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody mopping or sweeping anything up when someone's dropped a drink or anything. And it's so crowded, Dean. Nobody could get there in time to clean up a spill as you're going through, like, the causeway at games.
Again, that's just general slip and fall issues that was there a notice and did they have an opportunity to correct it? Okay. And so those are all the things that we look at. I hope you understand now that you have to come to me with more than just, hey, Dean, I fell and I'm injured.
I'm walking down the steps. The railing is shaky and it's loose and I fall.
Okay, that's fine.
Seat's broken.
That's fine.
Stuff like that.
We have a lady right now sat down at a makeup counter and the chair collapsed beneath her. And, you know, and we happen to have obtained information that they knew that this chair was in a defective and dangerous condition and they continued to use it.
All right.
So, there's, you know, any which way you can imagine somebody can injure themselves, I've probably seen it. And so
I can think of some which ways, but okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, them too.
Really?
Yeah. There's holes everywhere, you know. yeah, look, these guys, they're not going anywhere with that. 215-227-2727. If you need legal representation, that's the number to call. In this environs.
Going back home to your direction, as I was coming in, there's a lot of traffic this way.
Oh, yeah?
There's also detours and whatnot. There's probably going to be an accident today.
Yes.
More than likely.
Mm. Yeah.
When that happens on these highways, when you see all these arrows and whatnot, does your business increase? Is that a...
Yeah, I think we're usually steady, but I mean, can people get into accidents over highways and problems on highways? For sure. A lot of rear end accidents happen that way because the guy behind you may be attentive and see the danger coming, and the guy behind you is on his phone, you know, texting his girlfriend and has no clue that you just stopped and bada bang, bada boom.
Happened last week at the range. Four cars involved, one backed into the other. But what I noticed, I don't think people realize, folks, the police aren't coming to these anymore. You got to handle this on your own pretty much on site, don't you? For the most part. I'll get everybody's information.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Police aren't rushing to these accidents like that.
Obtain your information and preserve it on your phone. And when you trip and fall, make sure if there's witnesses, you get their names and numbers because, you know, where you fell, somebody called us. We didn't have a chance to get to her, but she said that she fell and the property owner said, you didn't fall on our property. Well, sometimes I actually have to do a survey, a legal survey, to find out where the property line is and where you fell in relation to that property line to prove that you fell on a particular person's property. Proof is in the pudding, baby, and I need evidence.
Does a
and
person so, have to give you their ring cam photo?
Again, telling them to preserve it, and if it's, let's say it's just normally saved for a week, and I sent them a letter 2 days later, and they didn't save it, and we end up suing them, and I subpoena, and they don't have it,
right?
Then that's a negative inference we can draw, and the court can say, hey, that would have shown the negligence that Mr. Weitzman is talking about, because if it didn't, you'd have held on to it.
Right.
And so a negative inference is a good thing, but if you wait time before you call me on a trip and fall, then you're allowing the defendant to destroy evidence without any consequence. 215-227-2727. Folks, I'll see you all next week at the live show. Have a great week.